Look at each other, say, God is cool.
God is cool.
Amen. I want to take you a little bit of a journey, but before I take you on that journey, I want to give you a reminder. Franklin Graham will be in Springfield, Massachusetts on May 25th at 7:30 p.m. There will be a rally, a kickoff rally for the believers on March 5th at the Naismith Memorial Basketball Hall of Fame. And you can check the information out on Decision Northeast, all one word, all lowercase, .com. So you can get all the information that God is about to visit Springfield, Massachusetts, with a nationally known or internationally known man.
Maybe that was the person that I saw in the holding on to the subway.
Well, his name is, the name of his ministry is The Purse. Samaritan's Purse.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Is the rally in conjunction with Franklin Graham?
Yeah. It's a kickoff rally, March 5th. At the Hall of Fame.
That's long before he's coming.
Well, it takes a while for the churches to wake up.
Amen. Amen.
I'm not trying to be critical. I better be quiet. Okay. Say, Lord Jesus. I have eyes that see. I have ears that work. They really hear. And I have a heart to perceive, that you're talking to me. On the 21st, I had a word from the Lord. I was taking communion, and I heard Job 14, verse 13 and 14. And Job is in a very difficult space in that chapter. His body, his emotions, his flesh, etc. But here's his declaration. I will wait till my change and release shall come. And I said, Lord, what are you saying through this man? Here he is, he's lost his family, lost his wife, lost his children, lost every valuable thing that he owned. But he's declaring, I will wait till my change and release shall come. So I said, okay. In other words, when you are down and out, and you don't know what tomorrow may bring, which this man of God declared, that there's a change about him down the road of life. That's an act of faith. It's a declaration that reaches into the heavens. Now, the scriptures that confirm this are in John chapter 5, verse 25. That's one of them. And these are the words the Lord speaks. Believe me, a time is coming and is here now when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear it shall live. Oh. Those who hear shall live. Then verse 26 says, and this one is pretty powerful, for even the Father has life in himself and is self-existent. So that he has given to the Son to have life in himself and be self-existent. I believe that's the Amplified. So now, it's a stretch of the imagination to have the Son declare that he's self-existent, but he's saying it. Do you think he was around when Job was making his declaration? Yeah. What about the next level? John 6:40. John 6:40. This is my Father's will and purpose, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in and cleaves to and trusts in and relies on him shall have eternal life. And I will raise him up from the dead at the last day. I remember in the Charismatic Renewal, we sang a song. I was worship leader. And every time we sang that song, there was a life-flowing force in the Roman Church and in the people that worshiped with me at that time. And you could just sense the resurrection power of the Lord visiting those that were hungry. And some came to life. And I will raise him up. And I will raise him up. And I will raise him up on the last day. And he will raise you up. And he will raise you up. And he will raise you up on the last day. Come on with me. And he will raise us up. Yes, he will raise us up. Yes, he will raise us up on the last day. After I took the bread and wine as his flesh and blood, I heard, doors are about to open to Canada and to lift up Justin Trudeau, who is their prime minister. He also told me to lift up the Ukraine, for it is the breadbasket of Eastern Europe. And there is a people there for Jesus. And then he gave me 1 Thessalonians 4:16. 1 Thessalonians 4:16. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a loud cry of summons, with the shout of an archangel, and with the blast of the trumpet of God. And those who have departed this life in Christ will rise first. You know, when he takes any of us on a journey and he tries to shake up our brain to cause us to grasp and hold on to the promises that he gives us. Those promises are not to be just poo-pooed away. Because Jonah was stubborn. He hated the Ninevites. He couldn't stand them. He thought they were the lowest of the low, and he wasn't about to go give them any hope. Do you think the Holy Spirit knew about how stubborn he was and how much hatred was in him? We have people in this country right now that hate, and hate with such a passion that the news becomes, for me, almost unbearable. I listen to so little of it because it is such an irritation. Because I see the defense mechanism on both sides. I see the pride and the arrogance on both sides. And so few are willing to intercede and pray, which is the commission of the church. Humble yourself and pray. He didn't say that to the unbelievers. He said it to the believers. The dead in Christ. See, the dead in Christ, are they aware they're dead?
No. Well, some might be, but...
Some might be, but chances are, they're not.
Some of the ones I know don't have.
Okay? And as I was getting ready to leave Sunday night, my son's home, the Lord said to take the bottle of oil. And obviously, I picked on my daughter-in-law. I always called her my favorite, and she responds, I'm the only one. So, we have a mutual joke. She was snuggled up in her recliner, and I asked her to stand, and I had a few critics. Don't bug her, but she did get up. I had a sense it was important. It was because of Christ in me. She did, and I anointed her. Her mom is on oxygen almost all the time. Her body is not in a good space. Her ankles are overflowing her shoes on both sides. She's on prednisone. She needs surgery in her stomach. She's got a hernia there, and they can't operate because they said she'd never get off the table. So whatever repairs that need to be done, the only one that can do that is the Lord. When I reached over and knelt down next to her chair, I don't remember what came out of my mouth, but I know that this woman is right at the end of her rope. I poured the oil and I reminded her, my job is to put the oil. The Lord's job is to do the healing. And I could just sense my daughter-in-law weeping on the inside, watching. Then I ran over to my son, and that was the hard part. Because he's watching. He's doing all that he can. He's become a servant. And I could see it. I gave him a hug and I said, thank you. Because he gave up his bedroom and gave his mother and I the private bathroom. And all I can say is this. What I poured into him, he's pouring into his wife and his mother-in-law. And I could feel the loneliness. I could just feel it. Gave him a hug, tried to keep the tears down to a minimum. Called him when we got home a little after 9. All I can tell you is, church can happen wherever you are.
Amen.
Church was happening Sunday night for me. On the way home, a few little challenges, but the grace and the grace that poured out of me and poured out of my wife for our daughter-in-law and obviously our newest baby girl. She is absolutely unbelievable. She's 11 months old, walking around, thinks she's the gift to the family, and she is. The most awesome part is she has a 10-year-old little brother, and he is obviously the surrogate father. He does all the things that he, as a young father, could be giving. It was awesome to watch. So if you'll close your eyes and put one hand over your heart and say, Holy Spirit, let me have church tonight wherever you want.
Let me have church tonight wherever you want.
You had church today?
We have church today.
Blessings to those.
Blessings to those.
Who hear this message.
Who hear this message.
And bless those that couldn't make it.
And bless those that couldn't make it.
In a special way.
In a special way.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
I pray.